שלום לכם, תודה שאתם איתנו כאן בחיים חדשים, סדרת השיחות הלימודיות.
Hello, thank you for being with us in this educational series, New Life. Hello, Dr. Lyman. Hello, Tom Mandelbaum. And I'm especially happy today because we want to learn how to be happy, not in an abstract way, but in the most practical way. We want to dive into ourselves and touch the issue of self-awareness. Research shows that if a person's aware of himself, aware of his environment, there's a better chance that he'll be happier. This really grabs me in my heart, and I'm sure you also want to be more aware of yourself. Be with us. We'll have a fascinating talk about self-awareness. Tal, we're with you. So there's so much research about self-awareness. We spoke about conflicts and pressures that we have at work with our partner. We go through all kinds of emotional things with ourselves that we don't know how to deal with, all kinds of thoughts that come in that we don't know what to do with. And that's why we're searching for tools, how to work with our feelings and the public. So we go to workshops for self-awareness. How do we increase self-awareness? It means attention, a person's attention to himself, to his feelings, thoughts, his desires, needs. His self-awareness takes him through everything he does throughout the day, and it also has to do with being able to look at myself, introspection, and a person's ability to differentiate himself from the environment, to know who he is. And we see that when a person has high self-awareness, it allows us to have more control of life, to know what my abilities are. I take on tasks at work that I know that I'm capable of doing. I'm aware of my capabilities. I won't take upon myself things. I know what's good for me. I know what I want. I know how to manage my life properly. And for that, I need self-awareness, very high self-awareness. So truly, first of all, there's a very interesting question here. Why are we starting life in a place where we're in darkness with no awareness? And our whole life, we're searching for this thing called awareness, to understand more, to know more. Why do we have this gap all the time between what we understand and what we're always aspiring to understand more and more? You're crying, why aren't we animals? That in a few days, he knows, has all his inner instincts, and he knows the environment, and maybe there's not enough power to protect himself and arrange himself properly toward the environment. But he already knows what to do. They have self-awareness, and we don't have self-awareness. We're really poor things compared to all the other creatures. We're like the poorest ones. That's one thing. The other thing is here, but there might be an inner obstacle, and we'll speak about it, then we'll maybe add to it. If you add brain, you're adding pain. What does that mean? Let's translate it to simple words. The words, if you add wisdom, there's a sentence that says if a person adds more, the more he knows, the more he's worried, concerned, he has problems, he sees too much. And what do people do? They're like, I'm not here. Kids sometimes do that as if they're not there. And also people with their inner protective system. Many times they do that, and we see that every day on the news, and I don't want to see this, I don't want to know that. I want cooking. And all the other things I don't want to see. Awareness is good if it comes with the strength of implementation, of convincing, of improving the situation. In other words, it has to be balanced. Meaning, don't put an obstacle in front of a blind person. If he's blind and you put such great problems in front of him that he's not capable of opening it or preventing it or turning it into something good, then he has a big problem. Self-awareness always goes along with our strength, a person's abilities. with the help of this new awareness, to enhance his life for the better and to know what it truly is for the better, that this awareness will create the correct path, the correct stages, so we won't be confused. And we see that this is the problem in the whole world. Chemical, nuclear weapons are falling into the hands of people that have this awareness that they have more force than brain power. And it's a problem. On the other hand, there's more brains. There's people with brains that they hear, they see what's coming, and they can't prevent it. They can't prevent the bad things. But rather, only if there's balance between them of what there is and isn't. Our desires were always in balance with our abilities, that I'll see things to the extent that they help me enhance my life, and not that I'll see too far ahead and won't see something that's close to me. And this is how I lose the main thing, how I can now make my life more correct. Therefore, to just increase self-awareness is not enough. It's a whole group of a new paradigm, thoughts, forces, environment, knowledge, not just to bring a person some knowledge. Sometimes we give people so much items in the news that I think the people at their level, at their awareness, when they're brought such knowledge items, news items, what can they do with that? They can't even absorb it properly. Causes frustration, problems, fear, anxiety. Our awareness has to be very varied. What's the difference between knowledge? It's just data. And awareness, it's the reason for these this input, if it can cause good or bad, what's the result it can be of that? How do I get into it, and how can I improve it? I and the environment and the world, the whole group of things that are connected to that information, that's what awareness is. There's also the issue that I'm experiencing, that through this experience, through my self-study, I'm reaching awareness. Is this something you have to give a person, or he has to achieve it through his life, his experience, through his expansion? It's a good question. The correct education is that we're bringing a person to a state where he himself opens the world. He himself discovers the world, because then he has vessels. He is aware of what's creating the situation above the, and then the continuation, and then how he can influence the results. But that requires a wide education, an integral education about nature in general and human society and the person in it. And altogether, that's what we want to bring to the world. Previously, you said that awareness could be a blessed thing, and it could also be a very difficult and harmful thing. And here I read that awareness can bring happiness, and at the same time, it can bring pain. If a person, this is how they defined it here, that a person can only use it for himself, and he doesn't really have the strength to communicate with his environment. Why is he failing? He's not managing to connect with the environment. He doesn't have the tools to deal with the environment, and this awareness causes him even more suffering. Let's say we get information that there could be a nuclear attack or a biological attack even worse. What will it give the simple civilian apart from hysterics? And it'll scrap his whole life. He won't know what to do. He doesn't have tools for that. So this awareness is negative, but it's not awareness, it's knowledge. It's an item. But if he starts reading and taking an interest, where it came from and why and what it causes, etc., he won't have the means to prevent it, to protect himself, to continue functioning in the correct manner. And that's why these things we prevent from people, the regular civilians, and we can only talk about them truly to the extent that we can give him means for protection. But before we get into it, I want to talk about the definition itself. We're talking about self-awareness. Now, self-awareness, today it's an expression. It's very in fashion to talk about it, that I'm developing my self-awareness and that I'm like this and I'm learning and I'm here and I'm there. What's behind all this? What does it mean in simple words? What is self-awareness? What does it mean a person that has self-awareness? Is it good? Under the assumption that it's in balance. I understand that it has to be balanced with a person's capabilities. But even before that, I'm trying to define in a simple way so that I'll understand and mainly feel. What is self-awareness? It's actually my profession, apart from biocybernetics that I started. Afterward, I dealt with the what is nature, anthropology, what is its laws, its reasons, its process and purpose, a person's role in that, etc. That is the anthropology. And I think getting into depth in that is self-awareness. To the extent that a person, for me it's my profession, for a regular person he has to know who he is, what world he lives in, etc. Who am I? What am I? What world do I live in? What does it mean, self-awareness, to know how to answer these questions? I can't grasp it. It sounds like something very abstract and philosophical. No. Why? A person is limited in life. He needs to know. He gets up in the morning, goes to work, operates the TV, goes to sleep. A wife also, she gets up in the morning, kids go to school and all that stuff. She arranges the kitchen and everything. She sees something about cooking or something and goes to sleep. We're not talking about those people. Those people are not going to develop self-awareness. They live like society dictates to them to live. But today, there's already awareness for the self-awareness. Many people feel that there's more. I don't see if a person wants to be special, you need to want to attain something in him. And then you go into TV and in TV, you zap through. You zap through the channels, and you open something about the animals. Apart from National Geographic, I don't know what else there is. I know lots of people. Why do I say it's something female? I know lots of females that, like, at the middle of life, the kids have grown up a bit. They're not worried about making money. Life is flowing, and suddenly they have a window open. Where they have they're looking at life, at themselves, what's happening here. So I don't exactly understand when they say self-awareness. Apparently it's a really good thing. What is the world and what am I in it? To know about myself. Where am I? Where? That's what it was self-awareness is. It's the same Torah of anthropology, like just in a safer way. How is it possible that we don't know who we are? It's the most basic thing, and it slips through our fingers. It's for us to attain it, because if we attain it, we'll understand. And then we'll be able to digest who we are. She claims that we don't know who we are, who I am, where I am. My life is from here to here, and that's it. And am I here just to exist? My self-awareness starts from me being above my habit, my regular things that I do every day like everyone, that I raise myself a bit higher with significant questions. And here there's development. And this development is given to a person, and he can get answers to these eternal questions. But it's been given to us precisely to research and attain. It's not that we're born with that. In a position to animals that have what they need for life, so that we ourselves develop the ability to attain the answers. The question is out there, especially in our time. In our time, it's really bugging us, driving us crazy. We don't really have the answer yet, but whoever really wants it, he'll reach integral education. And if I told you the answer in advance, if I got the answers to the questions about my existence in advance, I wouldn't be able to absorb them. I wouldn't be able to digest it. Why? I was taught a lot of things. Since I'm little, I learned in university the Einstein theory, quantum physics and all that. Not really a profession, but a regular course. Special theory. And in other ways also. Not according to time, space, movement that can change. Place can receive a completely different it can get a completely different dimension, etc. We need development, and not development in our minds. Like you said, I learned a lot in life. It didn't change you. It didn't change your attributes. Not that you spent more money, became more proud. Not those attributes I'm talking about. But I'm talking about the attributes of absorption, time, space, movement, the world, that you can grasp reality in a different way, like you're saying in modern physics, that it's talking about a completely different reality, that there's even other eternities, and they're one inside the other. And more, we need new vessels for that. Other attributes, natural attributes. Not the ones we were born with, but new ones, additional ones, and we don't have them. Does that mean to develop awareness? That's called developing awareness. Awareness for the world that you're in. That I want to research the cup, I need to be outside the cup And then we need to research the thing that I have vessels to swallow it, apparently, with everything that there's in it and can be in it. That's awareness. And in our world, I don't have that. I don't understand myself, and I don't understand the world. If we understand the real world, we need to rise above it, rise above man. What does it mean to rise up? To rise above our nature and the nature of the world. It means looking from outside, the attribute that I'm looking at this world. I'm looking at this world, and I see that it's entirely a desire to receive, a desire to enjoy pleasure, to fill himself, to hold himself, to develop himself, to a desire to swallow others for himself. That's actually the ego. It's inanimate, animate, vegetative speaking. That's all of nature. What's all of nature? All of nature is a desire to fill himself. Himself, each and every detail in the universe is maintaining itself, and is each time at every moment in his existence is choosing how to maintain himself in the best possible way. That's called the power of ego, the desire to enjoy pleasure. That's all the material, that's all the forces. The more that we get into material, open more forces, waves. It doesn't matter what. All of universe, the atom, that same law, every part wants to do good for itself, so there's always conflict. So there's always conflict and struggles, and the stronger one prevails, just like in physics and everything. That's nature of this world. And this nature is called a desire to receive. To receive good for himself all the time, as much as possible, and to release from himself, to distance from himself, harmful things. To bring the things that are beneficial close and to distance myself from the harmful things. That's the attribute of reception, that at its foundation has all the elements and the entire universe. That's the answer to the question, what is the world that I live in? It's nature. That's the questions that you said. It's the basis foundation of self-awareness. So to research this attribute, that's in this nature, we need to rise above it. What does it mean to rise? To be opposite to it. To be in a desire to bestow, to give. A desire to bestow, to give, to cause good. To who? Even that same world. Those same elements, the whole world is static within it. In it, there's different levels, animate, vegetative. So we have to acquire the second power that's not in our nature. Even though we have plus and minus in our nature, they're not forces to give and take. They both want to enjoy themselves at the expense of others. But the opposite nature can be to do good for the people. And when I cause them good, not for it to be good for me, because it's the egoistic force in a different roundabout manner, but rather to truly But really, to be in the pure force of bestowal, is such a thing possible? I learn from each thing. I imagine to myself that such a thing can exist. Even more so, I can imagine to myself that this force precisely works and gives all of this universe the energy for existing. This force of giving, bestowal, because where does our universe have a force to turn all the waves around, all the atoms from the bang? We say the Big Bang. What do you mean big? It was a point that we're researching according to our formula in a second, in a heartbeat, and faster than the speed of light, it expanded to distances and more and more and more. Meaning, where does it come from? From which force, this great giving, the Big Bang, where did it come from? It came from the force of bestowal, which is opposite to this entire universe. And it actually gave this energy, this bang, to the entire universe until today. And everything that's happening in the universe, all the stars, the sun, and everything that's happening, this energy, it's from that same bang. So you're saying that this bang is some expression of the basic gesture of giving in the universe? Yes. That gives birth to everything that we're trying to discover today, and we still haven't reached that's the foundation of life, that's the foundation of life. But not that we're discovering it in a revealed way, it's at the foundation of all of reality. So I understand that today we're in a situation that's called the power of Kabbalah, and therefore we're missing awareness. I learned communicative psychology, and we learned that there's an endless amount of enticing things around us, but our brain can only absorb so much. There's a limit. So we pick up stereotypes and heuristics, all kinds of things that allow us to absorb reality in a simple and fast manner, because we have so many things around us. We always need to catalyze everything to a certain subject. We see how all these stereotypes cause us to cause conflicts and have problems because we have such a limited perspective. So I don't know what the connection is, but because we're living in this attribute to absorb and take advantage of others to receive, is it connected to the fact that I have very narrow awareness? And if I go to the other attribute, it'll expand this. We'll be able to research our nature properly in an independent manner. When I research something, I need to be outside of it. When I'm inside my will to receive, inside this nature and researching, nothing is coming out except the types of this nature that I'm capable of feeling. Because what I don't feel, I can't discover anything. We're only advancing in it more and more, and then we're discovering there's more, but there's no end to these phenomena. But the more that we discover, and we discovered thousands of a thousandth of the universe and all the things happening in it, we still won't discover anything beyond this will to receive, beyond this nature. We won't know exactly about our nature, anything basic, and we'll always be in it. And when we verify ourselves whether we exist in this will to receive, this will for pleasure, we see that this nature is destroying us. What's destroying us? that I'm always only thinking about myself, and I always have to be in conflict with the people who are similar to me and with nature, inanimate, vegetative. I always have to be making war with everything around me, from the vegetative, animate, inanimate. It's a survival of the fittest. Is that why my perspective is so narrow? Because that's why we want to close our eyes and not think about anything. Let me work, let me make money, that's it. I'm afraid to break out of these boundaries, because everyone determines for himself something that beyond that he doesn't go out of there. There's strong people there. It's not worth it for me. A person is always choosing. So even the strongest and safest, they'll say he's not even sane. If he's sane, and he's always working with his will to receive, and this holds him. There's a very interesting point. We're going back to our everyday and how this lack of awareness causes problems. There's something called points of blind points, which is something that we see with managers at work and relationships, all kinds of situations where we behave as if we're not aware. Other people see it on us, but we don't see it. In general, we don't see ourselves in an objective manner. Now they're saying, how do I know if I have a blind spot, if I have a very strong reaction to something, positive or negative? It means there's something in me that I'm not aware of, that I see outside of me, and it really bothers me. For example, there was research that women had a very negative reaction to erotic sex pictures. They're the ones that were judgmental about it. And when they checked the physiology, and these are women that didn't accept their sexiness, and then when they saw it, it awakened them to be judgmental. So you mean there's something protective in the body that causes a person to get too excited, positively or negatively, to not get him out of balance? It's something inside me that I don't accept myself. I don't want to see it myself. And if I see it outside myself, it really bothers me. That has to do with the things that are agreed standards to each generation. If today, could somebody 70 or 80 years ago, if he would see how we are today, behaving today in our families and in the street, a person would understand where we've come. But it's not just in those things of agreements. It can be in anything. If someone aggravates me, if he's successful, it aggravates me because there's something inside me that I don't want to see, that I'm not successful enough. So you're saying there's this inner reflection that you identify inside, and therefore you don't want to see it in front of you. That's correct. There's things that I don't see, and there's things that I'm hiding from myself. I explain the technology. I didn't understand it. I understood that what she said, that's how it is. So explain what's happening here. What's inside me? But I said in reflection, I agreed with what she said in advance because you're saying everyone that's, if you see something and someone that's not good, it means it's inside me. I'm blind toward it. I don't see it on myself, but other people see it. Precisely something that is in me, I see it on someone else, and it really bothers me. But it's not analyzed correctly. It's correct, but not analyzed. So let's please figure it out. Why aren't we talking about it? Because we're talking about self-awareness. We're saying there's tons of things that I'm not aware of. But when I see something in you, And it's sparkling to me. It means there's something similar in me. What does it give you? I'm asking you, is it correct or relatively? Is it good for us to relate to? We're in a discussion about self-awareness. Of course, that anyone who judges something, if I didn't have that attribute, then I wouldn't discover it in others, on the one hand. On the other hand, if I corrected this attribute, then I would still see it in others. It's not that I'm blind and don't feel those things. I continue to feel them. Just maybe I can forgive the other person. I can bring him to correction, to help him. But not that I'm... Maybe this attribute was in me, and I'll ask in a different way. When I see things around me, in you and in Tal, can I learn something from that about myself? On the way to self-awareness, on the way to happiness, something purposeful that's directed toward happiness. I need something that's going to bring me to happiness. They said self-awareness is a station on the way to happiness. So to get to know myself better, do I need to look at you, at the people around me, and learn from that something about that? I don't accept that. I don't accept that. I only accept one thing. I need a measurement, clear measurement inside of me, like we spoke of the attribute of bestowal, giving. I need such a thing. I need an environment. It's working on one thing to reach mutual bestowal, mutual guarantee between people. Even if they haven't reached it yet, they have the goal of reaching. And I want to integrate myself in that environment, lose myself there, and from that point, and from there to see the whole world and everything happening in the world. Again, I want to develop my self-awareness on the way to becoming happy. I need to take a ruler, which is the force of giving. I need an environment, not a ruler. That's what characterizes the environment, that there's a ruler. I need a circle. I need like a laboratory where there I develop in bestowal. I acquire that same force that brought us the Big Bang, that holds all of nature. I can build this force in a society of people that understands that they need to rise above their nature. I can integrate in an environment like that to acquire part of that and to integrate in there and then view myself and the world and see the truth. Everything else is psychology that's over and there's nothing in it. There's just confusion. It's like each of us just sees a part of reality, and he's confused, and I'm confused, and you're confused, and then we start to pass it on to each other. How can I understand you, and how can you understand me? We're all corrupt. All that's over. Where's Laszlo and all those? Whatever's left of their concepts, and that's it. So what? Yes, only if we grasp the attribute of bestowal, which is opposite from our entire world, and we can somehow created as something inside that group of people that wants to cancel the ego. And then in a fake way that we cancel the ego for the sake of the connection between us, one to the other, and Arvut. So inside our universe, we're creating like a bubble that is similar to that external force that's outside of all of our nature, all of the universe. We are shaping it, we're creating it in a fake way. And then when we're integrated with one another, when we shape it in opposition to our ego, that everyone's stepping on their ego to connect with others, in a small society where we're harming each other, we're capable of doing that. We come out here to this entire universe, some little bubble. That's called a group. in the laws of mutual guarantee, where we're canceling the ego and connecting above the ego between us. And then from this point, I can go and see the entire universe, but without coming out of the group. I need to be always integrated in it. I need to connect in it and hold on to it. How does it help me to see anything? So I start to see nature of inanimate, vegetative, animate speaking inside the universe from the internal part of the circle, the other side, and then I can determine some measurement, the power of the ego that I'm verifying, that I see. What are the true phenomena? Are they correct or not correct? Because I start to measure them between the universe that is completely ego and my bubble that is the opposite of it, desire to receive and a desire to bestow. And then I start to measure, to what extent is it close, to what extent is it far? And I start to feel the changes in the universe, how much they're coming close to my bubble or not, or moving away from the bubble. It's because the recognition of evil is coming. Of who? Of those same people that are in their will to receive. Getting closer to necessity to also be in this bubble. And then we can more and more bring people closer to this true awareness, to be inside this artificial bubble. But there we start to feel a new force, and we're shaping it. It's the force of bestowal from canceling our ego. Our ego is actually good. It's not for nothing. By basing on that, we can build this divine force that's outside the limits of the universe. What is there? There we begin to get all the knowledge, and that's called true awareness. Because I'm no longer, I might be in something, but I might be an inclination to go out. I come out of my nature, which is a desire to receive, and acquire a second nature, a desire to bestow. And then I have two things in my hands, and then I begin to see one from the other, and how to combine them both. And then I'm like as a person going out to space, like an astronaut in his package, like an astronaut in his suit, because I'm in a will to bestow and I'm in the space of will to receive. And then I can research. When you say bestow, you mean like giving. Yes? So let's do a conclusion midway. We're looking for happiness, and for that we need self-awareness. You're saying the way to acquire self-awareness is to develop an ability to research yourself and the world from a higher place than where you and the world are right now. Your nature of all humans, of all the universe, every person is to maintain himself, and then each element in nature is in conflict with others. If you want to understand something about your life and reach that same happiness, you need to create in this reality some artificial interaction, new interaction that works according to a different rationale that comes instead of bashing into others. You want to do something of giving between you. The circle that you called allows you to rise upward one stage and look at the world you're living in from a new perspective, from a new inclination, a new force. Did I understand up to now? This whole process brings me to self-awareness? Yes. Well, let me just add, because I got worried because you said many times that in this process, in this fake interaction, this new interaction, you have to cancel cancel your staff, so I got lost. I thought in self-awareness, I'm good to know myself better, and suddenly I lost myself. That's what it sounds like. You're rising above your nature. Can a cat understand himself when he's a cat? No. When a person's a person, he can't understand himself. You need to be higher than yourself. This means being and giving instead of in receiving for myself, yes. And then you can learn everything that there is below. And then I'm aware of myself. And then you're aware of yourself and all the forces managing you. And then you can also manage yourself through these two opposite forces. You're in the middle. Your awareness is already in the middle between what and what? Between Chokhmah, Binah, and Daat. Okay, we got a bit deeper into it. You have Daat, awareness, your mind. Mm-hmm. Your mind is from the word awareness. You have Chokhmah and Binah. Chokhmah is will to receive what I have, and Binah is the desire to bestow, to give. It's understanding, it's expansion, going outwards. That you had these, when you have these two forces in balance between them, you build awareness. Then you are truly a person that's between these two forces, between the force that created the universe with all the different levels and between the force that's operating in that universe. Let me say if I understood. You're in two forces. Let me see if I get it. My natural inclination in every individual in the universe is to receive, is to receive. Now in this new interaction of giving, you're creating the opposite. It's like you turned all of the universe upside down. So between these two forms, I'll build my self-awareness? Yes, of course. Because even in our world, we build awareness from what? It's always between plus and minus, between boundaries. It's always like that. Otherwise, we don't differentiate anything. It's always between that and that. But here you acquire awareness that you're looking at the world. That's called the true experience, that you begin to recognize nature, one by the nature of the other, and you learn these two forms of nature, also a nature to receive and a nature to bestow. And you're integrated in both. You're made up of both. Your awareness is made up of both of these. When I learned communicative psychology, I don't remember a lot, but I remember one sentence that the lecturer said, that from all the models that they build, how we grasp and how information goes, how we process things in our mind, etc., they didn't find one thing. They didn't find who the little person is inside that experiences this whole thing, who looks from inside. So what would you answer to him? Who is this little person that experiences reality? I would say that I know this demand, this approach. I would tell him that the little person looking at us is apparently that same point that's disconnected from the ego, which is allowing us to rise above it to all of nature and to build this independence that's not dependent on our nature. I didn't get it. That inside of us there's a point that is not dependent on the desire to receive, on our ego. This point we can develop through the environment. Where everyone is like that. They're all egoistic with a point inside that wants to rise above their nature. And then we connect together at that same point, and we build from it a big point, a strong point, in compromising our ego to give it up, and to be as if we're living inside this point. We want ourselves to feel above nature. In other words, to work from the connection between us, to receive from there all the knowledge, feeling, all the support, security, feeling of happiness, feeling of existence. This is the point that's inside each and every person. In part of the people, it's more highlighted, and then a person is attracted to such an exercise, and some people aren't so much. So if I understand correctly, the integral approach of yours, self-awareness is something that a person cannot develop on his own with himself, but only in social interactions. Yes. In other words, it's a condition. It's a condition for true self-awareness, creating self-awareness, getting out of all this imaginary things is only interaction with people. Why is it like this? There's something tricky. To develop self-awareness, I need other people. Self-awareness should be the most personal, intimate thing. I understand that we're talking about insights, emotions, my new inner world that's opening to me. What are you, an animal or something? What are you going to learn from that? What kind of animal you are? That you're a poor little animal that's just living for itself, that won't help you get out of your nature. You'll remain like that, a little person living his 70 years, and that's it. It's just protecting himself to feel better all the time, and that's it. What will you learn? What's there to learn anything about the will to receive? You precisely need to learn how to rise above your will to receive. I want to rise above it, but the question is, can I learn it by myself? There's techniques that say that it's enough to identify with that point all the time, and then I'll look at myself and I'll reach self-awareness. No, it's impossible. So interactions with other people. Why? Because this point doesn't allow you to get out of the ego. It's enslaved inside the ego. It's under the control of the ego. The more that you try to turn it around, you'll still do these things from the ego. Instead of your body, your body is called your desire to receive. So instead of your desire to receive, which has the point in it, you need this different wrapping around the point. You need other points that they will support you, and to truly disconnect this point from yourself. So you're saying I can only develop this point with the help of others. So another question I have to ask. You're always talking about the ego in a way that you're not happy with it. What's not good with ego? I'm living in a very limited manner. I don't know who I am. I started with her question. Who am I? Where am I? What's this whole thing around me? What's the point of my life? What am I living for? All these questions that you're talking about, I imagine it's a person without an ego. He's just on the floor, like he's living like a cat. So all those questions are from the same point in the heart. I'm saying there's something wrong with the terminology. A person has to feel not okay with his ego. Each person has an ego. Isn't it natural? Yes, it's natural. But why do I need to agree with this one nature, with this ego? It's like I'm in prison. I can't think outside of it. I can't see, smell, nothing outside of it. Each moment I'm only thinking how to do good for my ego. When I look at this point that gives me a bit of a feeling of independence, that's the beginning of the man inside me, because without this point, this whole body, I'm just like a machine, like all the creatures. I'm different than them because I have this independent point. I can rise above. I can expand my boundaries of awareness. When I'm expanding my awareness, does a person work with his ego, or he throws it away as something that there's no use? He works as it, but as a force opposite to help him. He works opposite to it. First, I want to disconnect my point from the ego. And afterward, from that point, I want to start working with the ego. Why? To increase this point precisely. So it becomes like the plus and minus in an atom. But they're opposite. And I understand that, no, an atom isn't built that way. In an atom, even though you have these two forms, that this is giving and that's taking, they're both inside one nature of a desire to receive. A desire to receive. Even the electron that apparently gives, or a positron, they both work for the good of themselves according to the nature in them. Take not an atom, take a person. Can you do any act that's not for your own good? You're enslaved to your will to receive. And what does it mean to develop self-awareness? To be aware of it, not just to be aware of it, but to look at it from the side, from the other nature. From the nature to bestow, to not do anything for my own good, just like you can't do anything but for your own good, that you can come out of your nature and influence the public without any calculation for yourself. Not that somehow, maybe. Because in our world, it's not possible. In our world, you need to get some kind of something in return. Otherwise, you won't have strength. It sounds like there's some motor inside me. And now I have a new motor that's up until now it was inward, and now I have a motor that goes outward. What's the deal? It's freedom. It will anything that will make me a happier person, let's say I'll be a more successful worker. All these things help me to be more successful. With this training, we're building people that they have a happier life. Because they start understanding the relations between people in a different way, that you can give and you can receive and you can be in balance with others. They enjoy all the acts between them, all the things they do. That's the future of humanity. It's the development of man in us, because until today, we only developed through one nature. Now we need to attract the other nature to us, otherwise we won't be able to survive, because just one nature is burying us. But what will happen to all these blind points and all these things that we're pushing away? That won't be there anymore, because in our will to bestow, I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed, I'm open to everyone. I'm not hiding things from myself. I don't have any boundaries. Why aren't you ashamed and afraid? Because I'm attempting to get out of my self, my ego, and to the extent that I'm in it, I'm trying to get rid of it. And I'm just trying to more and more and more to be in development. So if I have uncorrected vessels, desires, thoughts, then they're there. I'm not guilty of it. It's not really mine. I got them to rise above them, and that's what I'm doing. So are you more at ease with yourself? Of course. Why? Because my whole being is about bestowal, to do good, cause others to feel good. So why shouldn't I feel good? No one's limiting me. I'm not afraid of anyone. I'm not going to do bad to anyone. I feel free of all pressure. There's no... What is this freedom you're talking about? You keep talking about this freedom. What freedom? Well, yes, that when our ego dies, you feel free of it. I'm not obligated each time to do something to fill this creature. I feel above it, above the donkey. If we ask again, who is this? Me, it's that same point that I need to build from it, Chokhmah, Binah, and Dat in the middle, this new awareness that is between these two forms, the will to receive and the will to bestow. And in the middle between them, that's me. That we're made up of two, and in the meantime, we're only in one. And that for that, I need others. Okay, our time is up. That was very awakening. Thank you, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Until next time, all the best. New life.